Hare Krishna. When the mind cries wolf, know that the mind is the worst wolf. We know the story of the boy who cried wolf. There was the threat that a wolf would come in a particular village, and the boy was supposed to warn people that the wolf is going to come. And this boy, just for the sake of joke, would cry, "Wolf, wolf, wolf." That was supposed to be the signal to alert people that wolf has come, and they had to take their weapons and get ready to defend their livestock. But the boy would call out wolf when there was no wolf at all. So in this way, the boy would just have fun at the expense of the people, creating a false alarm and seeing their panic and their worry. Now, just as this boy would cry wolf and mislead people, the mind does something very similar with us. Now, often the mind magnifies small inconveniences into big catastrophes, so that we start thinking that, oh, how this has happened, why has it happened, what can I do about it? Someone may slightly disrespect us or neglect us, and the mind starts thinking, why did this person do this? How dare this person do this? If people don't respect me, how will I live? And the mind may go off into a set of revenge fantasies, and in this way the mind makes a small problem into a very big problem, by thus magnifying inconveniences into catastrophes. The mind cries wolf. To cry wolf means to actually cry that there is a problem, and there is no problem or not such a big problem. So, but the mind doesn't just cry wolf. The mind actually itself acts as a wolf. How is that? Now, when we say cry wolf, that means to pretend that there is a wolf and there is none, to pretend that there is a big problem and there is no big problem. But to act as a wolf means, what does the wolf do? The wolf devours the livestock, the animals, the domestic animals that may be there, and it's a great threat. So like that, the mind is also the wolf. What does the mind devour? The mind devours our time. Mind devours the most precious asset that we have for doing anything constructive to deal with any problem. That most constructive, that most precious asset is our time. So when we are faced with a problem, that means it's like a situation where there's not a wolf, but there is some small danger that is there. So when we are faced with a problem, the mind runs off sometimes into the past. And when it goes into the past, it starts imagining. It starts remembering all the big troubles that we may have had in the past. And it starts imagining that now the same troubles are going to come again. And in the present also, a huge mess is going to result. And in this way, it disheartens us. And it paralyzes us with fear and discouragement and prevents us from utilizing the present. Or the mind may run off into the future. And if it goes off into the future, then also the mind doesn't allow us to do anything constructive. In the future, it starts imagining all worst case scenarios. Oh, this may go wrong, that may go wrong, this complication may result. And in this way, the mind paints terrible pictures of the future. And again, these also sap our energy. Either way, the mind, by distracting us towards the past or distracting us towards the future, prevents us from acting in the present. And the present is the only time that we have, and the only time that we will ever have, to do anything constructive in life. Be it to correct a past wrong, when the mind is imagining, that big trouble came up, that thing went wrong. Okay, it may have gone wrong. And we may have done some wrong, which may have also complicated things. But if I have to correct it, when I am going to correct it? Not by living in the past, but by living in the present. So the present is the only time that we have to correct past wrongs. And even if there are going to be some major complications that come in the future, we can't go into the future. We have to live in the present only. So even if we have to plan and prepare for the future complications, we have to do that in the present. For that also, we have to live in the present. Or if the present situation is such that it is not similar to what has happened in the past, or it is not similar to what may, or it is not very similar to the conceivable complication that we may think of, then we may have to chart a fresh course. And even for that, we have to live in the present. So, by depleting our presence in the present, the mind acts like a devouring wolf. It devours our time, especially our capacity to be present in the present. So, no wonder the Bhagavad Gita declares in 6.6 that the mind can be our worst enemy. Bandhuratmaatmanastasya yenaatmainatmana jita anatmanastu shatrutve vartetaatmaiva shatruvat. So, bandhuratmaatmanastasya, the mind is a friend of one who has conquered it, who has controlled it. But for one who has not controlled the mind is the worst of enemies. So, if the mind is like not just the boy who cries wolf, but the mind is also the wolf, so it's doubly dangerous. It creates false dangers and it itself acts as a bigger danger. So, how do we deal with such a wolfish mind? So, by distancing ourselves from it, so that we can regain perspective. What does regain perspective means? It has two aspects. First, we distance ourselves from the mind so that when the mind is starting to go run off into the past or the future, we don't run away with it. We understand, okay, there's the mind and the mind is thinking of all these things, but I am different from the mind and I don't have to get carried away with the mind. So the first distancing is distancing ourselves from our mind. And the second distancing is we separate the real situation on the ground from the mind's dystopian depiction of that situation. Dystopia is the opposite of utopia. Utopia means imagining a future where everything is rosy and perfect. And dystopia means imagining a future where everything is deadly and disastrous. So the mind sometimes paints a dystopian picture of the future. Or not just of the future, even though the present also, it just imagines that the present is going to branch off into a dystopian future. So we need to separate the real situation from the mind's dystopian depiction of that situation. So when we are able to do this separation, then we will be able to become calm and clear. How can we do this separation? There are various ways. We can take deep breaths to calm ourselves. We can write in a journal to clarify our thinking. Okay, this is the problem. This can be the solution for this. This happens, I can do this. This happens how? Just by verbalizing our thoughts, we create a distance between thoughts and ourselves, and then we can examine them critically. And then we can see how realistic they are, how fanciful they are, and then we can evaluate them. We can separate the realistic from the dystopian. So, writing a journal is helpful. Praying to Krishna for help. Krishna, please, I can't deal with my mind. Please, you help me to control it. You help me to deal with it. Or chanting the holy names of Krishna. By chanting the holy names, we connect with Krishna's power. And although the mind may be overpowering us, so we are here, the mind is here. We are at a lower level, the mind is at a higher level. But Krishna is at a level higher than the mind. So we connect with Krishna by chanting his holy names, and that also enables us to gain control over the mind. So after we thus regain perspective, then we can distance ourselves from the mind and the situation, and then with a calm and clear intelligence, we can determine how best to rectify the present problem. So we need to remember that the mind is the worst wolf because the mind acts as the boy who calls the wolf as well as the wolf itself. And therefore, rather than getting overwhelmed by problems that come when they come and the mind starts making a big, horrible picture out of that problem, we can calm ourselves, remember the mind is the enemy, distance ourselves from it, and then deal with the problem maturely. Thank you. Hare Krishna.